The following shir has been presented by Dayan Yohannesen David Hul, Dayan for the Beis Avad in Yerushalayim, and is brought to you by the Beis Avad Halacha Center. For halachic wills and estates, or other inyana Yerusha, please call the center at 1-888-485-VAAD or visit thehalachacenter.org.
Sochin.com. Well, today we're going to discuss the concept of reach, of smell or scent, if something which is forbidden for having any benefit from it. One were to have benefit by smelling it, is that a problem? Is that also or not? So the Brokamara in Sochin.com, of other things, surprise, Omer Abshimim, and Pazi Omer Abishub, and Leigh, Mishum Bar Kapora. Koil Umare, the reach, Ein Bahem, Mishum Me'ilo. If something is hektish, it's forbidden for an ordinary person to derive any benefit from it. However, sound, sight, and smell are not considered as activities which involve the Isser of Me'ila. Says the Gemara, Me'ila hu deleka, there's no Isser of Me'ila of using hektish for mundane purposes, or Isura Ika. Although the halachas of Me'ila min HaTorah don't apply, nonetheless, it is still forbidden. And as we shall see later, lechoreh means it's forbidden midrabbonon. So one cannot have benefit from hekdish midrabbonon, even if it's through sight, sound, and smell. But it's not called hanor, having benefit min hatorah, and therefore there'll be no halachos of me'ila in such a case. Ask the Gemara, reach ein bo mishum me'ila. Surely the halacha is that someone who smells ketores is moel. The Gemara brings a brisa to such effect. If you take the incense from the Beis Hamikdash, which is hektish, and you smell it, then the Gemara says you are moel. So the Rapapa says, kol umara ein bahem mishum me'ila lefish ein bahem mamish. Sight and sound are not considered as having benefit because there's nothing substantial there. However, reach, it depends. Before the ketores has been offered up on the mizbeach, if someone smells the ketores, he is over the Isser of Me'ila. Afterwards, once it's already been burnt on the mizbeach, there's no Me'ila, however, nasis mitzvosei, because the mitzvah has already been done. Lichoreh, the Gemara means to say that once the ketores has been burnt on the mizbeach, nasis mitzvosei is no longer hektish, and it now becomes chulin, and that's why there will be no Isser of Me'ila to smell the ketores after it's already been burnt. Now the Biskarov, in his Chidushin to Krisus, Davavam and Aleph, asks the question. In the Fida Maskon of the Gemara, it comes out that there's actually a big difference between Kol Umare on the one hand and Reach on the other. Kol Umare, sight and sound, there is no issue of Me'ilah benefiting from Hektish through seeing or through listening, because ain't no mamish, there's nothing there, you're not actually taking anything away from the Hektish. With Reach, there is a problem of Me'ilah by Hektish. The only reason why Reach of Ketores is permitted is because once it's already been Nas and it's Vosa, then it's no longer Hektish. Then in actual fact, Reach is a problem of Me'ilah, in which case, why does Bar Kapora put the three together in the bright and say, Kol Marav Reach, Ein Behem Mishu Me'ilah? Lechoreh, they're completely different levels. Kol Umare don't have a din of Me'ilah because it's not called having benefit. Reach doesn't have a din of Me'ilah only after the Ketores has been burned. But before it's been burned, there is definitely an Isser of Me'ilah. So ask the Brishkarov in Chasanta Ha'ara. Now, Tosfos asks Kasha here in Sukkah, here in our Gemara, in the Gemara in Sukkah, and in Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Kaf Aleph, Tosfos asks the same Kasha. Our Gemara says that although Kol Marva Reach Ein Behem Mishum Me'ilah, nonetheless, the Gemara says, there's still an Isser, Midrabonon, to have benefit from sight and sound and Reach of Hektish. After this verse, the Mishnah in Sukkah, in Pekachol, Daf Nun Gimel, on the Dalef, the Gemara there discusses the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. One of the things they used to do in Simchas Beis HaShoeva was create huge oil lamps, were on the top of very high poles, big bowls full of oil, and they used giant wicks made out of worn out clothes of Big Degurna, and they used them, and they lit the wicks, and the light provided lit up the whole chotah of the Azora of the Beis HaMikdash. And in fact, the Gemara says that it was so bright that it lit up the whole of Yerushalayim to the extent that a woman could check kernels of wheat to see which ones were bad and which ones were good in the palm of a hand through the light that was provided by these huge lamps at the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, even though it was night time. as Tosfos, although there's no me'ilah for using hekdesh via sight, but surely, as Agamora says, it's nonetheless forbidden. Me'ilah hu de leisa, or hu de leka, or isura ika, but it's an isa. So how are women allowed to use the light from the base of Mikdosh, from these huge lamps, for the mundane purpose of checking wheat? Now, says Tosfos, don't forget that the Shemin and the Psilo were both Hekdesh, and therefore there would be a problem of deriving mundane benefit from Hekdesh. Now, that's debatable. It's not clear whether the Shemin was actually Hekdesh, but the Psilo, as we've noted, certainly was, because they came from the worn-out big Dekorna, which definitely were Hekdesh. Now, the Yerushalmi actually learns from this that Kol Marvarev Ein Behem Shemeila. What's the Raya, says Yerushalmi? Because women used to check the wheat by the light of these huge lamps of the Simchas Beis HaShoeivos. So you see that there's no issur of deriving benefit from Hekdesh just via sight. However, says Tosfos, according to our Gemara in the Bavli, although there's no Me'ila, issur or Me'ik, it's still offer, so how are they allowed to do it? Now, there is a suggested teretz by the Aderes. He quotes in the name of his father, who heard from Rav Zev Lipman, who was the father of Yisrael Salamta, that it was suggested a teretz to this from Yehuda Leib Ma'ori 9, and he says that it's not kasher, it's not shver. We're talking here about checking wheat for the korban mincha. The Gemara Menachos Daf Kuf Vav Amud Beis says that wheat which was wormy could not be used for menachos. So perhaps we're talking about wheat, checking wheat for the purposes of a korban mincha, and that you could use the light of hekdesh because it was for a hekdesh purpose. However, the Adair has pointed out that's a bit shver, because Yerushalmi certainly didn't learn like that, because Yerushalmi proves from here the Kol Ma'avareth Ein Behem Shemeila. Furthermore, the Loshon Yerushalmi is the Isha Bereres Kriteho, a woman would check her wheat, which implies she wasn't checking Hekdesh wheat. So lechera, that wouldn't be sufficient. Tosfos in Shabbos wants to suggest that maybe it doesn't mean that she literally did check the wheat, it means she could have checked the wheat. That's, it was telling her how bright the light was, and it was possible to check kernels of wheat in your hand, but not that they actually did it. But the Yerushalmi is clear that they actually did check wheat by the light of this. And therefore the question comes back, how is it permitted, since Al Gemara says that it's forbidden, even though there's no Me'ila. So there's a tshuva of the Radvaz. The Radvaz in Chayin Gimel Simon Tov Reish Kaf Aleph suggests, first of all, the Tosfos suggestion that it was bright enough to be able to do it, but they didn't actually do it. Or he suggests that since the whole thing was only also midrabbanan, in the case of Simchas Beis HaShoeivos, Chazal permitted it. A special exception was made for the great Simcha through Simchas Beis HaShoeivos when they lit up these huge lights, which lit up the Ol Yerushalayim. Chazal, in this case, permitted having benefit from it, because there's no Me'ila by Mareh, it's only this Rabbanan, and in this case Chazal will mutter it. But now, in this Tshuva de Radvaz, we come on to a very, very interesting addition to the Halacha of Reah. And here the Radvaz says something very important. The Radvaz says the same thing in Chelik Gimel Simon Tov Reish Kaf Aleph, and again in Chelik Aleph Simon Reish Tzadik Zayin. And he says, if someone takes a rose of Hekdesh, a Vered Shel Hekdesh, or Shoshana Shel Hekdesh, and he were to smell it, in that case there would be a problem of Me'ila. Although Koil Ma'ariv Areach Ein Behem Shel Me'ila, in this case there would be. Why? He says, because in this case you're ne'enem miguf ha'hekdesh. You take the rose and you smell it, so you're taking direct benefit from Hekdesh, even though you're only doing it through a scent. Nonetheless, since it's direct benefit from Hekdesh, there is an Issa of Me'ila. Why, by Keteris, is there no Issa of Me'ila according to the Radvaz? Because once the Keteris has been burnt on the Mizbeach, it's no longer the smell that one smells after that is no longer the smell of the Gufa Shel Hekdesh. The Gufa Shel Hekdesh is no longer there. It's only the remnants of what was once a Gufa Shel Hekdesh. It's only the particles of scent that remain. They are permitted to smell. That's why there's no Me'ila. But if you were to take the Keteris itself and smell it, then you would for sure be over the Issa of Me'ila. And so too, if you would take a flower of Hekdesh and smell it, you would be over the Issa of Me'ila. But even that, Lechera, the Radvaz understood when Agamora says that by Keteris, the reason why there's no Me'ila after you've already burnt it on the Mizbeach is because Nasa Mitzvosa. It's not so much the Nekuda that once is Nasa Mitzvosa, that it goes lechulim. But once it's not mizvotah, you're not nene from mugufa shel hegdish anymore, and that's why it's permitted. Says the Radvaz, and in fact, kolam mara are more or less the same. Mara, he says, when it, if you were to light a light of hegdish, and someone would use that light to benefit from it, then there would be no iser of me'ila. Why would there be no iser of me'ila? Because you're not directing, you're not benefiting directly from the shemen itself. You're directing from the light which comes from the shemen. That's a stage removed. That's why there's no me'ila. And the same thing he says by sound. If you were to hear the Levim playing the klishoris in the Beis HaMikdash, then there would be no problem of having anor, because that's not the gufish and hekdash. If you were to take a musical instrument which belonged to hekdash and you were to play it, then that would be called inenef for gufish and hekdash. But to hear the sounds which had been made by hekdash, it would be permitted. So in the cases of Mara and Kol, it needs a little more explanation of exactly what the Nekudah is. But at least by Reach we see this important yesod, that if you're nenem gufa shel hekdash, then there's a problem of me'ila by Reach as well. And incidentally, lechur with this Radvaz, that would be an answer to the Britka Ross question, why are these three comparable? Surely by Ketores it's only permitted because you've already nasa mitzvosa. The answer is they're all really the same. The reason why by Keteris, once it's been burnt, there's no more din of me'ila, is because that's not called being nenem gufa shel hekdash. By Mara and Kol, it's always not called being nenem gufa shel hekdash. So in reality, the three are the same. The reason why you're not moed is because you're not nenem gufa shel hekdash. But were there to be a situation where you are nenem gufa shel hekdash, such as Keteris smelling the Keteris itself before it's been burnt, or smelling a flower of hekdash, then there would indeed be an issur of me'ila. Now the Ravaz comes on and adds to that. He adds another, an important condition. And this, the Rabbat Lechera says different things in different places. What happens if I want to take a fruit of hekdash, such as a tapuach, an apple, or an esrog of hekdash, and I want to smell that? So in Chelik Aleph Simen Reish Tzadik Zayin, the Radvaz says that would also be an iser of me'ila. Just like taking a flower of hekdash and smelling it, you're having benefit from the smell of the hekdash, there's an iser of me'ila. So too, a fragrant fruit which you were to smell would also be a problem of having a gnaw from hekdash, and you'll be moil. So says the Radvaz there. However, the Radvaz Chelik Gimel Tov Reish Kaf Aleph says that in the case of fruit, this is not the case. By a flower, by smelling it, you're nene from the gufa hekdash. By a fragrant fruit, to smell it, you would not be moiled. Why? Even though you're having a gnaw by smelling it from the gufa shel hekdash, a fruit's primary purpose is not to be smelled, but to be eaten. Something which is omed l'achilo, ikas yosa l'achilo, says the Radvaz there. Then you're only moiled if you eat it. But if you smell it, even though you get benefit from it, and you're getting benefit from gufa hekdash, since it's ikka achilo asiosis for achila, that would not be called an issa of reach for me'ila. So this is Radvaz there. And this concept is based on a Trumas HaRashbo, and we see this in other places as well. The Chorban Ochel Yeredeya Hilchos Taruva Simen Kufches in Sifhei says that yayin nesech, as we know, yayin which has been used for avodah zorah, it's forbidden to derive any benefit from it. What happens if someone has a barrel of yayin nesech and it's got holes in it and he wants to smell the scent coming out of the fumes coming out of the barrel of wine to see if the wine has gone off or if it's still good? So the Shulchan Aruch, mutar lishoif befiv reach yayin nesech. There are nekesh of the chovis. You can breathe in the fumes coming off the chovis of Yayin Nesech to see if the wine has gone off. Leidayim utoiv. So there are more, but you're not allowed to taste it. Certainly you're not allowed to swallow it, but even to taste it with your mouth, you're not allowed to. But you're allowed to breathe in the fumes. To see if in later, see if Zion there, the Shulchan Aruch says, Besonim of Avodah Zorah, or of klakerim or oil or anything which is forbidden by not to have benefit from, also loriapon, it's forbidden to have any benefit even by smelling things which are forbidden to have anor from them. So why in Sif Hei is it mutter to smell, breathe in the fumes of Yayin Nesech to see if they've gone off, since Yayin Nesech is also by anor? So the Shach explains that this halacha in Sif Hei is based on a Rashba and the Oruch HaChaim and others, who say that the reason is that although to smell a vered or a hadas, which is osur b'hanor, would be forbidden because having scent smell from the Chepetz of Isur is forbidden, nonetheless with wine it's different, because wine is not supposed to be smelt, its main purpose is to be drunk. And since his main person is to be drunk, there's no issur of benefiting from it by smelling it. So here we see the same yisrael that Advaz says in Chelik Gimel with regard to a tapuach of issur hanor of hektish. That since the fruit's primary purpose is to be eaten, there will be no issur or no me'il in his hektish of smelling it, even though it gives off a fragrant smell. However, the shach in the case of Yain Nesser actually disagrees, and he says that it's not clear that there is such a halacha, that if it's ikra asiyoso la'achila, there is mutter to derive benefit by smelling. He says the proof that the Rishonim bring is lahara, not a proof, and he explains why. See there, the shach, we don't want to go into it at the moment. So the shach, but there's another reason why it's permissible to breathe in the fumes of the Yain Nesser. And that is because it's actually no benefit whatsoever. In those days, the wine was extremely strong. And to breathe in the fumes actually caused damage. It wasn't pleasant at all. Someone who sniffed up fumes of the yain, a barrel of wine, would actually not benefit from it at all. But on the contrary, it would be mazik, says the shach, quoting a Tosfos. That's the reason why it's permissible in that case. It's not sufficient that the wine is omed lishsia to permit La'riach boy. It's only because in the case of the wine, there is no benefit derived from sniffing up the fumes of the wine. That's why it's permissible in that case. So says the shach. The Gon in Simon Kufches there in Yerudan, Sifkot Lamadalef, has a completely different approach altogether. And he notes carefully the lashon of the Shulchan Aruch. Mutar lishoif befiv reach yain nesach. The Shulchan Aruch says it's permissible to breathe in the fumes of the Yain Nesach befiv, with his mouth, says the Gon, so says Rabbeinu Chananel on the Aruch in his Meduyah. It's not that you're allowed to sniff it up with your nose. You're allowed to breathe in the fumes of your mouth. To sniff up with the nose is forbidden because it's having a gnaw from something which is otter, even though it's only with Reach. It's only permissible in this case because one breathes in the fumes in one's mouth. It's not enough to be called eating or tasting to forbid it for that reason, but it's also not called reach, having a lot of reach in the normal way through one's nose. And that's why it's permissible, otherwise it would be forbidden. So it comes out that the reason why it's permissible to sniff the fumes of Yain Nesach, three separate reasons given. One reason given by the Rashba is because wine's primary purpose is to be drunk and not to be sniffed, and therefore that's why it's permissible to have hanor derech reach. According to the Shach, the real reason is because there is no hanor there at all derech reach, and if there were, hanor would be forbidden. According to the Gaon, the reason is because it's no hanor, because you're not taking the hanor in the regular way through your nose, but you're actually breathing in the fumes through your mouth. There's no real benefit. You can only taste whether the wine is good or not, but one doesn't have hanor in the normal concept of what hanor is. And that's why it's permissible in that case. Now, with this in mind, let's look at a practical example. A Jewish person goes into a non-Jewish supermarket on Chol HaMoed Pesach to buy various things which are not common. Now in the supermarket they're actually baking fresh bread, and there's delicious scent of fresh bread wafting from the supermarket. Is it permissible to have a gnaw from the scent of the chometz? Well, first of all, the pre-chodosh in Or HaChaim Simon Tov Mem Ches quotes the Knesset HaGedolah, who brings an opinion which seems to say that it's permissible to have a gnaw of reach of chometz which belongs to a goy. However, all the posts can dispute this, and they say it's forbidden to have any hanor from chometz which belongs to a goy, as much as hanor of chometz which belongs to a yid. The Shulchan Aruch also paskins lechera. The Shulchan Aruch in Hilchos Pesach in Tov Mem Gimel Sif Aleph says, from midday erev Pesach till after Pesach, all chometz is forbidden not only to eat, but it's forbidden to have any hanor from it. Says the Rambam, afilu chemes shel einu yehudi osel le'onos mimenu. It's by chometz is three Israel. It's forbidden to own chometz. It's forbidden to eat chometz even if it's not yours, but it belongs to a goy. And it's remorse, forbidden to derive any benefit from chometz even if it doesn't belong to you, it belongs to a goy. And therefore, the lechera will be forbidden to breathe in the fumes of fresh bread on Pesach, even if the chometz doesn't belong to you. Now, the Bir Halacha there quotes that there are some poskim who wanted to suggest it might be mutter, even to breathe in the fumes of chometz which actually belongs to a yid, on Pesach. Now, how would that be permitted? Obviously, the person who owns the chometz is over this or by the or by the, but the person who breathes, sniffs the fumes of the chometz, would that be permitted or not? There were those who suggest it might be okay, and why? Because this was probably mentioned earlier. That bread, its primary purpose is to be eaten, not to be smelt. And therefore, even though a smell comes off it, and it's a pleasant smell, nonetheless, to breathe it, to sniff up that smell and enjoy the scent of the fresh bread, would not be a problem, because Issa HaNor of smelling is only its Omed L'Achila, like the Tapuach in the Radvaz's case, which is not Omed L'Achila, it would be permitted to smell, and the wine in the Shulchan Aruch's case, which is Omed L'Shiyah, it's not Omed for Reh, it would be permitted to smell, so too bread, which is Omed L'Achila, it would be permitted to smell it on Pesach, as long as the chometz doesn't belong to you. However, the Bira Halacha rejects this for two reasons. Number one, he says, in Hilchos Brochus, there's a machlokes, a siman reish tezayin, in the Ramah there, in Sif Beis, whether one makes a brocha on the smell of fresh bread, the brocha of reach on the smell of fresh bread. The two opinions there, and the Mishnah Brura understands that the machlokes of the two opinions is whether we say that bread's main purpose is for eating, and therefore the scent that comes off it is not considered something substantial enough and important enough to warrant a brocha or berachas reach, or do we say no, bread has a purpose of eating, but it also gives off a fresh smell which is significant enough that one should be able to make a brocha on it. In that case, says the Mishnah Brura, in Hilchos Pesach, to allow one to enjoy hanor from fresh chometz, even if it doesn't belong to you, by smelling, based on the principle that bread is only supposed to be eaten and doesn't have a primary purpose of being smelled, is not so clear, because there's two opinions in the Hilchos Brachos, whether we look at bread as being solely for eating, or also the fact that it gives off a pleasant smell is something significant. If it's significant enough to make it warrant a brocha, in Hilchos Brachos, then the Chorob is significant enough to be also b'hanor when it comes to Hilchos Pesach. That's one reason the Bi'ah Halacha forbids it. The other reason is because he says that if when it comes to chometz, since it's something which is forbidden, which all around is permitted, we have to be more careful, and there might be mokum to make a special gazera and forbid one to derive any benefit, even the meikra din might be mutter, because you might come to end up eating it as well. And that's a separate Indian by itself. Have a look at the Bi'ah Halacha that he brings from the Rekech, a similar concept. But at any rate, those are two reasons why the Bi'ah Halacha doesn't allow it. L'chur, according to what we've been saying, we've got another reason why it might not be permitted. True, there is such a Rashba who says that something which is omed ikka asiyosa la'achilo, then any smell which comes off it is not a problem, even if it's also ba'anor, and that's not called being nenef misa'anor, because it's ikka asiyos for achilo and not for reach. Although the Rashba says that, and as we saw the Radvaz says that, nonetheless, there are those who argue. The Shach, in the name of Tosfos, says that would not be enough to be muttered the case of smelling Yain Nesach. Yain Nesach is only muttered to smell because there's no Anor, according to the Shach. It's Mazi, but if it would have Anor, it would be forbidden, even though wine is supposed to be drunk and not supposed to be smelled. And then there's the Gaon, who says that the reason why the wine is permissible to smell it is because you're breathing in the fumes with your mouth, but to breathe them in with your nose, is implied from the Gaon, would be forbidden, even though the Yain is omed Lishasiyah, not Omer Lareah. And therefore, the Chorah, it'd be very difficult to permit this. So to come back to our Shiloh, someone who goes into a supermarket and is going baking fresh bread on Pesach, the Chorah, it would be forbidden to have Hanor from the Reach which is coming off the bread. Because even though Reach, our Gemara says, Ein Bein Shema'ilon, as we've seen, if the Chafet is still Be'en, and your Nena directly from the Guf Hadova, then Reach, in the case of Heklish, Yesh Bo Shema'ilon, in the case of Keteris, before it's been burnt. And in the case of something which is Omid L'Reach, certainly, like a flower of Hekdash or a flower of Issa, the Somam of Issa, then Reach would be forbidden because you're neder from the Guf HaDovah. And in the case of bread, since it's a machlokes, whether bread is Omid, Ikah for Reach, according to the Mishnah Berurah. And apart from that, because since there are those who say that even if it is Omid, Ikah L'Achila, still would be forbidden to have Hanor directly from the Chafetz, even derech reach, and therefore one should avoid having any benefit from the smell of the fresh bread when one goes into such a store. If even against one's will, one has a benefit from it. That's a separate sugya of Davar Sheino Miskaven. In the case where the Iyech Shebelat Hochi, that's a different sugya, and if it should ever be Lamaisa, one should ask a Shaila. But at any rate, one should certainly make sure that one doesn't intend to have any benefit from the Hanor, because if someone who goes into the shop with intention to have benefit from the Hanor, even their Reach of chometz is also bar no. Reach from the direct chefetz which is also bar no, is a problem. In the case of hekdesh yesh bo mishum meila, and in the case of dovah also, it will be forbidden to have hanor from it.
The Daf Yomi Halacha series has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center. To reach the center for halachic services or consultations, or to present a shaila, please call 1-888-485-VAD. That's 1-888-485-8223, or email info@thehalachacenter.org.